and we was worried about y'all. We thought maybe y'all have slipped out, but I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Tonight we're going to be in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. It says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the contention, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I have attained unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that which is also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, wherefore we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and whose mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." To be able to subdue all things unto himself. We may so often think that we're running roughshod this, that, and the other, but while we may be a little out of whack here and there, we can have glory and we can have confidence in the fact that Jesus Christ will be able to subdue all things unto himself, and even bring us into the place where we need to be, and the way we need to be, and the how we need to be. Even as in Philippians 5, if he has begun a good work in you, he will finish the good work in you. So if he started something in you, he can surely subdue you to the end finish line to make it happen. So finally, my brethren, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you that we can be here tonight, Lord. We thank you for the passage of Scripture that we just read. And Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ.
And Lord, there's so many ways that we fall short, Lord, and there's so many ways that we don't attain or act like we've attained, but Lord, we know that in the end You're going to bring us through. You're going to glorify us, and You're going to have it and sanctify us and bring us to all the places where You'd have us to be, even and up into us seeing You and being like You, Lord. There's just so much You're going to do in us that still You're working on, and we thank You for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. We ought to. I thought this morning, and it may sound odd, but I shed a few tears, but I rejoiced in the Lord in the fact that why would He save someone like me? Why would He pour out that precious holy blood for someone like me? He is worthy to be worshipped. He's worthy to be rejoiced. He's worthy to be honored. He's worthy to have glory. Because if we really think about what we really are and how far down He really came, which we can't even get a hold of, to save the likes of us, everything that we do ought to be saying, thank You, God. Thank You, Jesus. You're worthy. You're honorable. You're holy. And I know the world out there would think we're a bunch of lunatics, but that's the way we really ought to be thinking. It says, rejoice in the Lord. In fact, in the next chapter, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I mean, we really don't come up to the grasp of what we ought to be doing most of the time. It says, rejoice in the Lord. To write these things unto you is things to you, to me indeed is not grievous. In other words, He didn't think it was hard. He didn't think it was a pain to write these chapters out to help edify us, to write these chapters out to help bring us into the place where we need to be. He didn't think it was like stepping back and saying, hadn't I already taught y'all all this stuff?
Yeah.
He says, no, to write these things to me is not grievous, but to you and to me, it was needful. Mm-hmm. He says, beware of dogs, false teachers, false prophets, false people that get in here. Beware of dogs. We need to have our eyes open. False people. He says, beware of evil workers, people who are not doing the right thing. And then He says, beware of the contention. And if you know at the very beginning in Acts, Judaizers and those people were doing their very best to get, we've been studying the Hebrews, were doing their very best to get believers to go back to doing sacrifices and circumcisions and all the laws. And yeah, you got Jesus, but you still need to keep the law and stuff like that. He says, beware of these people. Watch out for these people, because you have been saved by grace. You have been saved by Jesus Christ. He finished it. He settled it. He did it all. Don't go back and try to add to the grace of God. Don't go back and try to add to what Jesus has done. He said, beware of these false teachers. Beware of these false prophets. Beware of these people that will try to bring works into your services, into your churches, into your way of doing things. He said, beware of those people. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. And if we've ever heard it in Romans or anywhere else, when we were born again, He says He circumcised our hearts. Now, we don't have an outward circumcision that people could just look at, but we have an inward circumcision that when we became believers, we are now circumcised in our hearts by God Himself. We were circumcised. So now that we are not the Jews per se, we are Christians. And we have been touched in our hearts. We've been given a new heart, a new spirit, a new way of going. And it says in these things that we rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. In other words, I'm not trusting in anything that I do to get to heaven. And I know it's easy to say, and I have to examine myself and say, what am I hanging on to? What am I trying to grab a hold of? What am I, or if I am, trying to hang on to anything that helps me think that I'm getting a little bit closer? And the bottom line is, there's not a single thing that I can grasp or hold or get a hold of that can do anything to add to what Christ has already done. It says here, I don't trust, I don't have confidence in my flesh, but I glory in Jesus. I glory in Christ because He did it all. He paid the price. He went to the cross. He suffered the wrath of God. He was in the grave. He rose. None of those things I was there for. I've been studying Ezekiel. I'm on Ezekiel 38 Sunday, if I'm not mistaken, and it talks about the dead bones in the valley. I don't want to get started on that sermon right now, but those guys couldn't do a thing. And if you understand, they're bones. And a bone can't do nothing unless a dog comes up, picks it up, moves it somewhere else. A bone just lays where a bone lays. And that's exactly the way we were. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And God came along and quickened us. It says here, that's a short version of next Sunday. Though I might also have confidence. Now, this is, he's a Jew now. We're talking about Paul. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. In other words, there's a lot of folks out there who think, well, I did a lot of great things. I go here for that, and I go this over here, and I go over yonder and witness to these people. I go, and he says, man, all this stuff I do in the flesh, or what I do in this here, which hopefully we're not doing any of those fleshly, but the man can get his mind puffed up and say, look at all the great things I did for you, Jesus. In fact, we know in one place in the Bible it says, they says, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this and didn't we all do all that? And he says, who are you? I never knew you. I never knew you. You were working a religious activity. He says, if any man have anything to trust in the flesh, I more. And let's look at his pedigree here. Let's look at his pedigree, because this man is a champion of champions, if you want to look at it that way. He says, circumcised the eighth day. Someone preached a while back about Jesus. Yes, somebody preached about Jesus on the eighth day. His mama and his daddy brought him into the temple to fulfill the law, and he was circumcised just the way he was supposed to be. And everything according to the law, Jesus did and his family did, because Jesus had to be right. He had to be sinless. He had to be under the law, did everything that the law stood for and all that stuff. So everything about Jesus would have been absolutely correct. Now here's a man, not Jesus, but still under the same rules, still under the same regulation. He says, I was circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel. Not of some other group, not of some other place. He knew his lineage. He knew all the way back to Jacob who he belonged to. He knew who his mama was. He knew who his grandparents were. He knew who his father was, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, his stepfather. All those folks. All the way back to the day he was born. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. He names it right on out. I even know that my great-great-great-great-granddaddy was Benjamin. And he's the son of Jacob, who is Israel. I am a pedigree person. He says, I'm Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, there's no in-law, outlaw thing in my bloodline. Everybody was in the right family, the right lineage, all the way down to when it got to me. There were no Syrians or Assyrians or all those people we talked about, the lady at the well, all those folks. None of those was mixed in with his bloodline. He was pure Hebrew of the Hebrews. He says, as touching the law, a Pharisee. In other words, from the day he was born, he was learning the law. From the day he was born, he was instructed in the law. And up to the day he died, he knew the law perfectly. He knew the law all the way up to the point where he, except for the where he, in the flesh, could not receive Christ without the grace of God. He knew the law totally. Jots and tittles and all that stuff. He was a lawyer of lawyers. He said, I was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. In other words, I was so zealous for God of the Jews that when this Christianity stuff started, I couldn't stand them. I tried to wipe them out. I started with Stephen, and then I went to Damascus. I got me some letters, and I was going to wipe these folks out, put them in jail, make them quit doing what they're doing, make them go back to Judaism. I persecuted the church. He says, touching the righteousness which is of the law, he was blameless. In other words, according to Old Testament law, he did exactly what a good Jew should have done. Anybody that claimed to be God or like God or whatever, they were supposed to stone them, get rid of them. And if you'll notice in John, every time it looked like Jesus said or mentioned he was God, they were picking up stones. They were getting ready to stone him. It says, concerning the law, he was blameless. In other words, he did it all right. In fact, when he had that little thing with God on Damascus there, God says, You're kicking against the pricks. You don't understand what you're doing. You're fighting against holy God by keeping these laws over here. You're fighting against the wrong one. God's Son has been here. God's Son was here. God's Son brought this Christianity stuff into business, and now you're kicking against it the wrong way. Paul, your jealousy is going in the wrong direction. He says, but what things were gained to me? Those things I count for loss for Christ. In other words, he had stature. He had status. He had people that would give him letters to go out and kill people. He could get most anything he wanted from the hierarchy in the Jewish religion and the Jewish government. He could get people to go out and kill people even. He says, all that power, all that stuff that I had, I count that as dumb. I count that as rubbish. I count that as trash for what God has done for me in Jesus Christ. He says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now the word knowledge there, in most of the Bible, to know someone is an intimate thing. To know someone means you want to know them so close, so tight that you know all about them. He says here in this verse, he says, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus our Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. I want to know more and more and more about Christ, is what he's saying here, even if it costs me everything. Even if I found that pearl in the field, and I says, what will it take to buy that field? And he says, it'll cost you everything to buy the field so you can have the pearl. He says, I gave it all up. I counted all of it but lost. I counted all of it but dung. There was nothing worthy of knowing Jesus Christ. There was nothing worthy of getting that close to his Savior. He says, and be found in him. Do I need to back up? No. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'm going to chew on that a little bit here. It says, I don't want to go up there with all my Hebrewism. I don't want to go and stand in front of God with all my self-righteousness, all the things I did, who I am, what I am, where I am. He says, I don't want to be found in him not having mine own righteousness. I don't want to be up there without the grace or without the righteousness of God himself. He says, I don't want to be found of my own righteousness, which is by the law, which will end up costing me eternal damnation, which will end up costing me hell. I want to be in Christ. I want to be in grace. I want to be saved. He says, I don't want to be standing before God with my righteousness, but that which is through the faith of Christ. That's the righteousness I want, the one that's through the faith of Christ. The righteousness which is of God, which came from God, was given to me by God, by faith.
Yeah.
See, the righteousness that I want to stand in front of God with is say, God, I want to stand in front of you and honor you with the truth of what you've given me. I want to honor you with the faith that you've given me. I want to honor you with the righteousness which I could only get because of Jesus Christ giving it to me by dying for me on that cross. No other righteousness would do it. No other righteousness would get me eternal life. Only the righteousness that I receive from Christ. He says, I want to be found with his righteousness. I want to be found with the righteousness which God has given by faith, that I may know him. And I'm hoping that everybody in here would want to know more. We sang that song, more about Jesus. More about Jesus. But to know more, we got to get in the books more. We got to stay on our knees more. We got to get closer more. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to know all about it, even the resurrection. I want to know what life eternal is all about. I want to know what the next place is coming. And we know that Paul went into heaven, into the third heaven, and got to see things that nobody has ever seen before. I'm thinking, God listened to some of what he was saying here and says, I'm going to hook you up. I'm going to let you go see some of this stuff. And then when he came back, he couldn't tell none of us because it was too great to speak about.
He says, I want to know about the resurrection. I want to know about the fellowship of His suffering. I won't leave that one out. I don't want that. Because the fellowship of His suffering might mean that we have to suffer a little bit. Every one of us who wants to get closer to Christ wants to find out what He went through for our benefit, what He went through for our salvation. To do that means we're going to have to suffer a little bit. To have fellowship of someone suffering means you've got to take part in it. You've got to understand. You've got to feel it. And I think that's what we do when we have our prayer letters and when we have people who are sick and we hear them tell us what they're going on and we try to say, what do I have in my life that compares or whatever, or how can I get my mind wrapped around what's going on in their life? And believe me, there's some people going through some things in my life that I don't necessarily want to fellowship with. I don't want to do that suffering with them. But on the other hand, I want to be able to sit by them and say, I love you. I want to be able to sit by them and say, if I can help you with anything, let me help you. If I can lift you up in some manner, let me lift you up. If I can do anything to bring you closer to Christ, I'd like to do that also. I would like to do anything. I'll even sit there up night and day if that's what it takes beside you. Hold your hand, dab some water on your head, whatever it takes. I'll give up part of my life for you that I might know Christ. That's what this is all about. Us giving up some of us. Some us giving up some suffering that we might know Christ. Christ suffered for all of us. Deeply, greatly. He says, the fellowship of His suffering being made conformable to His death. Whew. Now we're getting deep. Being made conformable. His death. That's a serious thing. Even the death of the cross. I'm going to have to back off of that a little bit because I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. And he's talking about attaining. And I like that in this chapter here because a lot of people have this concept, once saved, always saved. And I agree, if you are saved, you're always saved. But there are a lot of people who have made some kind of a profession or decided they changed their mind or whatever. He says, that I might attain. He says, not as though I have already attained, neither had already or am already perfect, but I follow after that which may, that I also, let me start over, that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of, Christ Jesus. In other words, I want to get a hold of the one that's got a hold of me. That's the tongue twister version. I want to get a hold of Christ. Christ has already apprehended me. Christ has already saved me. Christ has already saved you. Now that He's saved me, I want to get a hold of Him. I know He's got a hold of me. But on the other hand, I want to get a hold of Him. I want to get a hold of what He's about. I want to have the fellowship with Him that I may attain that which also I am apprehended of, which that is Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, I'm not going to boast of what little bit I know about myself. I'm going to boast in the fact that Jesus Christ saved me. I'm going to brag about Jesus Christ saved me. It says here, brethren, I count not myself to apprehend it. I'm not going to sit here and say, I am so saved that I can go do anything I want to. That won't get it. Because if you got that attitude, you can go do anything you want, do any kind of sins you want, you're just so in with God, you can do what you want, you're probably not saved. You've got the wrong mindset. He said, brethren, I count myself, not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward unto those things which are before. We can let the back trash, the back stuff, drag us down. That's already covered. Of course, our front stuff's covered too. But if we sit too long mully-grubbing about what we used to be, what we were, where we were, how we were, we've got our eyes on the wrong stuff. We're still murmuring and complaining about who we are when we ought to have our eyes on Christ. We ought to have our mindset on Christ. It says here that I press, reaching forth those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
In other words, this stuff that's behind me, that ain't no prize. This stuff that I've done with, went through, lived through, done through, that's trash. That's rubbish. That's garbage. I want to press towards Christ. I want to press towards my high calling. I want to press towards what the thing God has called me out to be. I want to be as close to Christ, as much like Christ, as I possibly can. It says here, I press towards the mark of the prize. You know, He's our inheritance. That's a pretty good prize. He's our inheritance. I'm pressed towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. In other words, God, whether I understood it or not, when God saved me, He put me in a pretty high place. When God saved you, He put you in a pretty high place. He has made you an ambassador. He's made you a priest. He's made you a saint. He's made you all kinds of things that you never were before then. He says, now we're supposed to walk like that, talk like that, be like that. So I need to press towards that thing. I need to act like what I'm supposed to be. If I'm a saint, I ought to act like a saint. If I'm an ambassador, I ought to act like an ambassador. It says, let us therefore as many as be perfect. In other words, if you're saved, you're perfect. I may not see it all the way I want to yet, but I'm perfect. Be thus minded. And if anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So in that statement I would say, if any of us are lacking anywhere, I'm hoping that God will help us to get a hold of the things that we need to get a hold of, that we can be more like-minded with each other. If there's anything that we ain't quite got worked out, I'm hoping God helps us get these things worked out. It says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. See, once saved, always saved. He didn't act like it, but He knows it. We shouldn't act like it either. We shouldn't take God for granted. We shouldn't take our salvation for granted. We should. But He says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. In other words, if every one of us is a saint, every one of us is an ambassador, every one of us is a Christian in Jesus Christ, we should walk that way. We should talk that way. We should act that way. We should be aiming at being Christ-like. I know Paul says, follow me, but he's following Christ. He says, brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as they have us as an example. In other words, let's look for people who walk like Paul walked. Let's look for people who walk like good preachers walk. Let's look for those who are walking the right way. Look at how they're walking. Try to get an example of how they're doing it. Try to get a hold in their mind how they do things. And try to follow those examples. But mostly if we get a hold of Jesus Christ and follow His example. Walk like Christ walked. Be like Christ did. It says here, for many walk, who I have told you often, and now tell you with weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. If there's anybody comes in here who's teaching works or any add-on stuff, they're the enemy of the cross. They're the enemy of grace. They're the enemy of God Himself. And He says He taught that with weeping. And so therefore, any of us who are preachers or teachers or whatever, we need to make sure we emphasize this often, that we need to be watching for the wolves and for the people that sneak in and the men who teach false doctrine and the men who teach false things. We need to be watching for those things and remember that we were saved by grace and we walk by grace and we walk by faith in Christ Jesus. It says here, remember those things, even with weeping. He says, even with weeping. Paul cared about this church. In fact, he cared about all the churches that he was a part of. And if you'll read his text in almost every one, somewhere along the line, he says, I've been crying for you. I prayed for you with many tears. I poured out tears for you. Even though Paul knew the sovereignty of God, he still shed tears for the people that he loved, for the people that he knew, for the people that he brought into, birthed into this thing as children of God. He says, I weep for you. I'm afraid for you. It scares me what's going to come down the line. And we're 2,000 years on down the line here, and we know that there's many, many, many denominations all up and down the place. There are many wolves have got into the Christianity. There are many wolves have brought a lot of people to the side, straight out. There are not many people left that believe in the grace of God, the sovereignty of God, and the things of those nature. Whose end is destruction. God's going to deal with them. God's going to take care of them. And their belly, for God, for their God is their belly. In other words, most of the people on TV and stuff like that, their God is their belly. They're worried about getting some money. Somebody send them a little money, then they're going to do a little blessing over you. They're going to send you a little water in a packet. They're going to make some kind of seed offering for you. They're going to do something for money. Their God is nothing but getting some kind of person to give up some money that they can get richer and richer and richer. These false preachers, these false doctrines, most of them right now in this day and time are all about money or prestige or some kind of renown with people, to have some kind of people come from all over the world just to see this man, talk to this man. It's all about them and nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about the grace of God, nothing about what God has done. It says, for our conversation is in heaven. We're already seated in heaven. God already sees us in heaven. Everything that we talk about, our lifestyles and the things we do, ought to be, reflect the fact that heaven is where we're headed. It ought to reflect the fact that we're not of this world. We're not of the other people. We're supposed to be separated. We're supposed to be different. So if our conversation is all we do is supposed to be in heaven, we have to watch how we walk and how we talk and how we act. We can't do like everybody else. Who shall change our vile bodies? Talking about Jesus Christ. Who shall change our vile bodies that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? One day, each one of us that's a believer, we're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Every one of us is going to get refurbished. Everyone will be changed in our vile body. The one that's full of sin, the one that's full of decay, the one that's full of rottenness is going to be changed. And it will become incorruptible. Man, it's going to be a glorious day. He says, and shall change our vile bodies unto the glorious body according to the working whereby He is able. It doesn't say He's going to try to do that. It doesn't say He's going to struggle to do that. It says whereby He is able to do that. He is not only able, but He has already planned it before the foundation of the world. He's just going to bring it right on up to the place where He says, and now I'm going to do it. Same thing when we got saved. He brought the foundation of the world, and on the very day that I got saved, you got saved, He said, now I'm going to do it. He was able on that day. He was well able. Even to subdue all things into Himself. Everybody out there says, well, I can outdo God. Well, if you're outdoing God, He wasn't trying to subdue you. I know that's hard for them to get a hold of. He wasn't trying to subdue them. He had done turned them over to their reprobate ways and let them go their own way, because their own things are going to be their own judges. But for us, He says, He is even able to subdue, and He's also able to subdue all things. Nobody's going to get away. Not even those people who are doing their own thing and think they're fighting God, think they're getting away from God. There will be a day when the great white throne judgment comes. He'll pull them out of the graves and He'll say, all right, you think you were free and all this stuff? Judgment day is right here. Now's the time. He says, my Bible says, that He's changed our bodies according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. All things. Not some things, not part of the things, but all things. Every single thing in this world, in the next world, will all be under His power, His dominion, His authority. There's not one thing that He's not over and in charge of. And if He can be over that much stuff, He can without a doubt gloriously save whom He chooses. And He can do it when He chooses. So we need to be careful of false teachers. We need to also be careful of our own pride, thinking we're somebody when we're not.
And we need to definitely trust in the grace of God that Jesus Christ is exactly who He is, can do exactly what He says He'll do, and is well able to subdue all things unto Himself on the day He decides to do it. He's God. He is God. Brother Joy, would you pray for us, please?